Here.
Nicole Olson?
Here.
And Carrie Case and Katie Holmland are excused.
Okay, we have a quorum. Rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to make a motion. Oh, yep. Heard something. I am going to make a motion to move, to amend the agenda and add item 13.5, which is test coordinator administrative report. Ms. Fry will be providing that tonight. Could I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to amend the agenda today and adding item 13.5, test coordinator. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes and it's amended. Now I'll make a motion to approve the amended agenda. Could I have a second?
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Nicole. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Next, we'll move on to student presentation, Alaska Vocational Tech Center and Trade Industry Tour. So we had six migrant ed students travel to AvTech in Seward and the Pipeline Training Center in Fairbanks to explore career pathways into the trade industry. And they're going to tell us a little bit about what they experienced and learned while they were up there. So.
We just finalized our presentation.
If you guys could go to the podium and introduce yourself.
For those that are listening.
So you're being broadcast on the radio, so if you can introduce yourself, they'll know who you are. I'm sure the picture will come right to their mind.
Great. So I'll introduce and then I'll sit down and let these guys do it. Dave Owens, shop teacher, and we have Caleb Latomsky, Eric Tinas, and Mikel Deinhardt. Mara put together a trip for us to go up north. I'll let these guys give you the specifics, and paid for through migrant funding and had a great time. Caleb, you want to go first?
Yeah. So I'm talking about AvTech in Seward. It was the first tour that we got. We went to Anchorage and then road trip down to Seward, took about 2 hours. And then the next day we got a tour of their main building, which was dorms and cafeteria and a gym. And then we went out to some training centers, buildings that they have kind of, I guess it's still campus, but it's kind of separate from that main. We only got to see the electrician and heavy diesel mechanics. We kind of wish we saw the welding shop, but we kind of figure that there's only so much you can see. I mean, the shop's a shop, but the programs there I thought would be pretty beneficial and a pretty good price we figured out. So I could possibly see myself doing it, I guess. That's kind of where I decided to go. But I liked the experience and it was pretty beneficial to see that.
Did you get to talk to any of the students?
Yeah, we saw Maddie.
Okay.
She was doing heavy diesel and she kind of took us through. She had to buy a bunch of tools for her training. So that's kind of included in heavy diesel. Mm-hmm. You have to buy it's like $9,000 of tools, but you get to keep those once you leave. So she was showing us her toolbox and her engine. We got to see them working, but we really met up.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right, other questions? Kind of jumped in there. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Hi. Tall for me. We, like you said, we went up north and we got to tour AvTech and the Fairbanks Pipeline Center. And overall, it was a great experience. It was really fun and definitely opened my eyes to the opportunities of apprenticeships and different programs you can go to when you go to trade school. I definitely think that it would be beneficial for people who are thinking about vocational schools. It, like I said, definitely opened my eyes. I was more leading towards trade school, and now that I went on this trip, I'm honestly not doing that so much because I got the exposure to apprenticeships. And while, you know, we were on this trip, other than, you know, touring the schools, we took a 2-hour drive. That was fun. We went to a trampoline park. That was probably one of the highlights. That was really fun. This little, like, 5-year-old let us borrow his football. It was great. You know, we went ice skating, and it was definitely eventful. We had a race, and we also got in trouble for that race. But overall, I think it was a very beneficial trip, and definitely think it was worth it.
What kind of apprenticeship programs were you exposed to up there that interested you?
There was a process technician apprenticeship, which I think was a part of UAF, if I'm correct. And that was linked to an associate's degree. We saw two other apprenticeships. One was the pipeline, and that was welding, plumbing, and heating and like AC.
Pipe fitters union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear pipe fitter, and that's what all those things are included. And then we saw the heavy equipment operator apprenticeship, and we got to go out and see the different things that they do. We went out, and it was snowing, and we saw that there was different types of people in this apprenticeship. There were the laborers. They were running back and forth in the snow. There was one heavy machine operator in the, what was it? A side boom?
Yep.
In the side boom. And they were picking up these pipes and moving them back and forth, and the laborers were just running back and forth. And you know, you could be either or with that apprenticeship. So, yeah.
Cool.
Nice. So now that Mikkel,
can I ask what a process technician is? What's a process technician?
What is process?
They usually kind of like maintain how much, like, say, like you have like crude oil.
Uh-huh.
They may or kind of process how much crude oil is let into a pipe and how much they want in a designated area.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just a lot of technical. Mm-hmm. Constant regulation.
Never heard. How long is that program?
You usually it's 5 years for an apprenticeship program. You take like 2 months for schooling, and then the rest you're just out constantly in the field. You're being paid as well. I think you start off at like 26, and then each year you're bumped up to a certain amount, and I think once you're at 5 years, you're making $40 to $50 an hour. But after that, you become a journeyman. You kind of do whatever you want. But honestly, the sewer at Avtech, I thought caught my eye at first, but after going, it didn't seem as appealing as the apprenticeship program. I could see myself doing that a lot more than going to a trade school. I like the, I guess you can call it harshness, because you're not kind of walked through the schooling. You're not, you know, having a dorm, you're not having free food, you got to pay for all that stuff. But with the apprenticeship program, only 2 months of schooling, and then you're out on the job getting experience, constant exposure. I would rather do that, honestly. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
interesting.
But Mikkel did a lot of telling. yeah, if you guys have any questions, feel free. So
was it more than you three students that got to go?
Yeah, it was Tyler Miyake, Jonas Anderson, Marcus Anderson, and then us three. So
how many years have you done this, Dave?
Well, I think we've done 3 trips to Avtec. And this is the first time to Fairbanks, first time we went to an apprenticeship program. We've taken 1 trip to Montana. We looked at schools there about 5 years ago, and a couple years ago, we took a trip to Idaho, looked at trade schools there.
Very cool.
Yeah. This is probably an opportunity for Eric to tell what we did before dinner the last night in Fairbanks. Do you remember?
Oh, axe throwing. Yeah.
And who won? Was that?
It was me.
Yeah. We weren't actually at each other. There was a charge.
Good to clarify.
We don't want to be down a teacher.
Any other questions for these guys?
Was there an apprentice program that sparked your interest when you were up there?
I think all of it sound really appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it technical processing?
Systems processing, I think.
System processing.
Yeah.
That seemed a little bit too technical for me. There's a lot of regulation and a lot of responsibility to go with it, but it would be a challenge. And I mean, I wouldn't be afraid to hop in it, but the pipeline and the pipe fitting, that seemed, you know, pretty fun. Go up on the pipeline, go weld or do whatever. The heavy operating or heavy diesel, whatever it is, that I wouldn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
It would be pretty fun as long as you're, you know, in the warm.
The cabs heated. Yeah.
But no, it all just seemed really appealing. I mean, I could see myself doing that for sure. Mm-hmm. But the only downside to it is you're gone a lot.
Mm-hmm. You know,
2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, or 4 weeks on, 2 weeks off. You know, I mean, kind of just depends up on you.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, maybe as like when you're young, you know, no family, mm-hmm. I could probably do that. But you know, if I was like 30 or 40 and I have family, I would rather be, you know,
yeah.
With my family. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Caleb corrected me, so you can go in front of everybody. What's the name of that?
The systems deal is actually called process technology. Yeah, process technology.
You get
an associate's degree through UAF.
Okay.
That's their 2-year program through that.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more like an office kind of job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Caleb, is that 2 years and then more, or you go 2 years and then you can go do that work?
I understood it as 2 years.
Okay.
Because it's not as much of a like labor job.
Like an apprentice.
You're getting trained as well.
Okay.
You're getting your associate's degree.
Yeah,
I think that one's 2 years. The other ones are fine.
Okay.
Mm.
Sure.
Great. Any other questions? Oh, thank you for coming
in.
Yeah,
it's
great to hear when you guys are able to go and refresh our memory too of what the opportunities are for students.
Thank you guys for supporting.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that. Appreciate that.
And that was migrant ed funds that paid for that. Very cool.
All right.
Thank you guys.
All right, we'll move on to student representative report. Charlotte Martin.
So having regions this weekend, volleyball, and we've been excited for that. At high school, we've been preparing the Spirit Week this week, and then we'll have a pep rally tomorrow. And also the ASB to a trip in April to go to possibly attend the Alaska Association of Student Government Conference. So that would be like, what's that?
I mean, sorry. Keep going.
Sorry,
I'm excited.
Oh, sorry. I thought I said something wrong. It would be like a convention of some other student governments. I mean, you guys probably know what I'm saying. Yeah, we've been talking about that. It might conflict with like a band trip, so we'll see who can go and things like that as we get clearer on the dates, but that would be exciting. So
okay. Thank you. Any correspondence? Mara?
None.
Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Comments from the audience related to agenda items? Okay, hearing none, we'll go comments from board members. I don't know whether to, I'll just make a few comments about Katie and I, as well as the superintendent, were able to go to the annual conference in Anchorage. Got up there on Thursday, so we were able to attend Friday and Saturday. And still, after all these years, a lot of good information, but I will say, I said on the radio earlier today, but there was an overriding theme of funding mental health professionals in school systems nationwide, regionally, Alaska, of course, understaffed. It's hard to find them, but both the students, because they have a whole leadership institute that goes on and during the school board conference for high school students. And that was an overwhelming request from those students, the constant, and it was anywhere from rural Western Alaska to, I talked to a couple of boys from Cordova and Sitka and just all over the state, the same theme of we need more mental health services in our schools. That's what kids are struggling with most. And we heard that from adults, but we also heard from the kids. So I thought that was kind of sad, but also interesting, and kind of felt like it was a little bit of a marching order for school board members to consider that as another piece in educating kids. We also talked about the never-ending conversation of funding and how we still need to continue to push and hopefully override the governor's pen and getting the base student allocation up again. And I guess that's kind of, those were the highlights that stuck out to me mostly, because a lot of it is similar training, refreshing, reminding, but those were two that were, well, more specifically the mental health side of things was really prevalent this particular time. So, okay. We'll move on to, if nobody has any questions for me, move on to the fiscal year 2023 draft audit presentation. So we have BDO, our audit district's accounting firm, will be presenting the draft for the 2023 audit to the board. And I think they've called in, and we'll have an opportunity to ask them any questions once they're done, or through it, I guess, during it.
You should have the final in his presentation. We only have
it. Oh, okay. Great.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm going to turn on my camera. Not sure if everyone can see me or not.
We can.
And then I need to figure out, I'll just share my screen.
There should be like a blue TV like button down at the bottom, along the bottom of your.
Yes, I found it. Okay. So let me know if you guys are able to see that.
Yeah. Maybe at the bottom on ring. There it is. There it is.
So.
Yep.
And then just to let you all know, Bicky is, who's the partner on the engagement, is currently traveling. So he will hopefully be able to jump on at the end of this if you guys have any questions for him. But I am the lead auditor on the engagement, worked a lot with Shannon. So I want to extend my gratitude to her for being on the audit and helping us with our questions. So I'm going to have two presentations. The first one is going to be essentially our wrap up of the audit, and the second one I'm going to be going over the financial report. So as you know, we just audited the Peterborough School District for the year ended June 30th, 2023. Here is our welcome page, and just going to go over a few parts of this. Professional standards require us to communicate with you regarding matters related to the audit that are, in our professional judgment, significant and relevant to your responsibilities in overseeing the financial reporting process. And there is our information right there for you guys to see. We go to the next page. This is our status of the audit. We have substantially completed our audit of the financial statements as of and for the year ended June 30th, 2023. Our audit was conducted in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the United States of America. The audit of the financial statements does not relieve management of those charged with governance of their responsibilities. To just go over a few points on here, the objective of our audit was to obtain reasonable, not absolute, assurance about whether the financial statements are free from material misstatement. We issued, as of today, an unmodified opinion, which is, means a clean opinion of the financial statements, and released it on November 14th. We also issued the unmodified opinion on the district single audit report, which includes the schedule of expenditures of federal awards and the schedule of state financial assistance. We also issue our report on internal control over financial reporting and compliance and other matters based on an audit of the financial statements performed in accordance with the government auditing standards. And our responsibilities for other information documents containing the district's audited financial statements does not extend beyond the financial information identified in the audit report, and we are not required to perform procedures or to corroborate such other information. However, in accordance with professional standards, we have read the information included by the district and considered whether such information or the manner of its presentation was materially inconsistent with its presentation in the financial statements. Our responsibility also includes calling into management's attention any information that we believe is a material misstatement of fact. We have not identified any material inconsistencies or concluded there are any material misstatements of facts in the other information that management has chosen not to correct. So if you go to the next slide here, this is the results of the audit. The following summarizes the more significant required communications related to our audit concerning the district's accounting practices, policies, estimates, and significant unusual transactions. In the report, in footnote one, you will be able to see the summary of the accounting principles and industry practices were consistently applied and are adequately described within the footnote. And then in footnote 11, you will see a summary of the most recently issued accounting pronouncements. And as of the fiscal year 2023, there was no changes in significant accounting policies. The only significant accounting policy that we audit for the school district is going to be pensions and other post-employee benefit assets and liabilities. This is the pension liability is the estimated based on actuarial and other actual contribution data provided by the district by PERS and TERS plan administrators, which it comes from the state of Alaska. And then this is just a flow chart of our financial reporting. And as the result of our audit, there was no corrected or uncorrected misstatements identified by us. And if we go here, this is going to be regarding internal control over financial reporting. In planning and performing our audit of the financial statements, we consider the district's internal control over financial reporting as a basis for designing our audit procedures for the purpose of expressing our opinions on the financial statements, but not for the purpose of expressing an opinion on the effectiveness of the district's internal control. Accordingly, we do not express an opinion on the effectiveness of the district's internal control. So we are required to communicate in writing to those charged with governance all material weaknesses and significant deficiencies that have not been identified in the district's internal control or financial reporting. So we have some definitions here. So control deficiencies are a deficiency in internal control, which exists when the design or operation of a control does not allow management or employees in the normal course of performing their assigned functions to prevent or detect and correct misstatements on a timely basis. And then this goes by levels. So next would be significant deficiency, which is a combination of deficiencies in internal control that is less severe than a material weakness, yet important enough to merit attention by those charged with governance. And then the most severe one is material weakness. And this is a combination of deficiencies in internal control such that there is a reasonable possibility that a material misstatement of the district's financial statements will not prevent or detect and correct on a timely basis. But in conjunction with our audit of the financial statements, we did not note any significant or material weaknesses throughout our audit. So some additional required communication, just going to go over a few of these here. There were no matters noted relevant to the audit, including but not limited to violations or possible violations of laws or regulations, risk of material misstatement, including fraud risk or tips or complaints regarding the district's financial reporting that were made aware of as a result of our inquiry of those charged with governance. We have evaluated whether the identified related party relationships and transactions have been appropriately identified, accounted for, and disclosed, and whether the effects of the related party relationships and transactions based on the audit evidence obtained prevent the financial statements from achieving fair representation. There was no significant findings or issues arising during the audit that were discussed or were the subject of correspondence with management. There's no disagreements with management about matters, whether or not satisfactorily resolved that individually or in aggregate could be significant to the district's financial statements or to our audit's report. There's no significant difficulties encountered during our audit. And then we go here, this will be our independence for the audit. Our engagement letter dated to you July 18th. Describes our responsibilities in accordance with professional standards and certain regulatory authorities and government auditing standards with regards to independence and the performance of our services. This letter also stipulates the responsibilities of the district with respect to independence as agreed by the district. You'll have to refer to the letter if you want to see more information on that. And then I sent this to Shannon, but Shannon has the representation letter that was signed and given back to us. So now I'm going to move on. Do you guys have any questions on that, actually?
Nope.
All right, let me move this around. Or do I need to share my other screen? Let me reshare the screen. All right, are you guys able to see this, the next presentation?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, let's get started. So in the report, the first couple pages is gonna be our opinion on the financial report. I'm not gonna go through the whole thing, but I'll identify the main points. The first two paragraphs here is our opinion. We have audited the financial statements of the governmental activities, each major fund, and the aggregate remaining fund information of Petersburg School District, a component unit of Petersburg Borough, as of year ended June 30th, 2023, and the related notes to the financial statements, which collectively comprise the district's basic financial statements as listed on the table of contents. And again, like I discussed before, we are giving a clean opinion, an unmodified opinion. Next on here is going to be our basis for our opinion. We conduct our audit in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the United States of America. After that paragraph, it talks about the responsibilities of management for the financial statements, our responsibilities, the items we're performing in accordance with the government auditing standards, required supplementary information. And then if we go to the third page on the report, we talk about the supplementary information, which goes over the audit we conduct on the single audit for the federal and state awards. And then our other reporting requirement is regarding the single audit, which is the government auditing standards. The report is dated November 14th, is the date that we have issued the report. And then on the report, on Exhibit A1 is going to be the statement of net position. And this is essentially the district's assets, liabilities, and net position. And it includes the long-term assets and liabilities. So for the year ended, the district had about $2.5 million in cash and receivables, about $2 million in net property and equipment, And then regarding those pension and other post-employment benefits, liabilities, there's about $5.3 million currently due more than 1 year. And these are numbers are based off of the state's actuary reports. And then if we go to the next one, this will be Exhibit B1. Now, this is just the, does not include the long-term assets and liabilities. And these, this page here, as you can see, we have listed the major funds. And so these are the funds that met the 10% threshold designed by the standards that need to be presented as a major fund. General fund will always automatically be presented. After the general fund, food service special revenue fund is a major fund. Title 1C, migrant special revenue fund. Elementary and secondary school emergency special revenue fund. And then we have capital projects funds, and then all the other special revenue funds and funds will be lumped into the non-major governmental funds. And so as we see on this page, out of the 2.9 million in assets, general fund holds about 1.2 million. For the liabilities of the 321,000, again, the general fund holds the majority of about 129,000. We go to the next one, which will be Exhibit B3. This is going to be the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances. And again, these are the same major funds that I just discussed. And so out of the major funds, we have total governmental fund revenue of 10.7 million. And the general fund holds the most with about 8.6 million in general in revenues. And then for expenditures, there is a total of 11.2 million. And again, the general fund holds about 9 million of those expenditures. And for the year, the operating transfers from the general fund were to the student transportation for about 75,000. See, and then the CCDP health and wellness special revenue fund for about $6,000. With a total of $81,040. On Exhibit C1 of the report is going to be the general funds, revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances. And on here, you will see the budget original and final, the actual expenditures. So if we, for the total revenues, the budget amount was about $8,685,000. And the actual amount was about $8,691,000. So it was about over $6,000. And for expenditures, there was budgeted about $9.1 million. The actual amount was $9,008,000. So it was under about $108,000. And then if we go on to Exhibit F1, this is where you're going to see all the non-major special revenue funds listed individually. And so on here, you'll have any of them that were not a major fund will be listed. And so student transportation ended with a net fund balance of 83,000. The trust scholarship ended with a fund balance of 10,000. And then if we go on to here, we have all the other scholarships who also end with fund balances. And then student activity ending with a fund balance of $148,000. And then on F2, it's going to be the non-major special revenue funds statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances. And like the last page, student transportation here showing the ending fund balance of $83,000. They had a total revenue of $177,000. And expenditures of $215,000. You go to Exhibit F2 continued, shows the rest of them. And then there's a third page, and on here you'll see all those scholarship funds, and those all end with a fund balances as well. And student activity with about $168,000 of revenue and $163,000 of expenditures, ending with a fund balance of $148,000. This slide here is the fund balance that are subject to the 10% limitation But as of March 11, 2020, the state of Alaska has suspended this requirement, and it will not be imposed again until June 30th, 2025. But we still present the calculation. And as you can see, the state or Petersburg is below the 10%, landing this year at a 9.23%. So they are in compliance. The next slide here is showing the total federal funding received by the school district of $1.4 million. And from the state of Alaska, they received $6.1 million. And during our audit, there was no question costs. There was, like discussed before, we issued an unmodified opinion or a clean opinion on compliance, and we did not identify any deficiencies in internal controls over compliance. This is our schedule of findings and question costs regarding the single audit. And as you can see here, for all financial, federal, and the state financial assistance, we did not identify any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. The two major federal major programs that we did identify is going to be Education Stabilization Fund and the Child Nutrition Cluster Fund. And again, we did not identify any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies for these funds. And with that, that is my presentation. Do you guys have any questions?
Good.
Yeah, that's great. I don't have any, but I'd say it looks like it was a lot of hard work, and thank you, Shannon, and the rest of the staff and the office for, I'm sure, a lot of late evenings.
Yeah, I do want to say Shannon was an extremely a lot of help. She answered all of our questions, got us everything we needed. Couldn't have asked for anyone else to do this for us.
Way to go, Shannon. Your first audit.
She did great. She did great.
She'll be very excited about that. She has been wanting one of those with absolutely no anything. So
she did on her way out.
It was a very clean audit. I will have to say that.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much. You all have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay, that was good news. I'll move on to number 12, which is the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda. I have a second.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Jay. Any discussion? Okay, they cover our monthly accounting reports, bills, payroll, and electronic funds, our regular board meeting minutes from October, our personnel action report for recent hires and resignations. Mara, could you please call the roll?
Yes. Charlotte Martin. Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we'll move on to administrative reports. We'll start with our superintendent.
Go ahead. Great. So just to piggyback a little bit off of what Sarah was saying about the conference this last weekend, there were some really great keynote speakers. I went to one of the breakout sessions after Dr. Troy Hutchings did the initial keynote, and he did a lot of conversation about ethical responsibilities of educators and just that continued focus on professional boundaries. And he talked a bit about the codes of ethics in various agencies, and it was really interesting kind of historical perspective about like the medical establishment and just all the different areas, and that and then talking about this model code of ethics for educators. So there's always been a code of ethics that's required, but really talking about just kind of diving down into some of the nuances of ethical conduct within school settings that are particularly challenging because you're dealing with children, you know, just so many, and there's not a way to really control everything that comes out of everybody's mouths all the time, meaning conversations that come up with kids and just where things go. So it was really great to just have some opportunity to reflect on that and on the work that we as a staff do here in our district in that area. And I will say our insurance carrier APEI has done a really good job of being in the forefront of providing training in that area, and we were the first district that did participate in that training when it came out a few years ago, the professional boundaries training. So just nice to see that that work is still really important, and that just to keep it in the forefront of our minds. The November 1st in-service day was really productive. It was fun to follow up with Timmy Tullis up at the conference after she worked with us for strategic planning. And I thought it was a really productive day, and we'll talk more about that later, about the areas of focus that came out of that planning session. But I thought it was really an overall really good process. Mr. King is working with staff on the CTE Fine Arts curriculum review process for this school year. We made that swap with social studies since the standards weren't ready at the state level. Count period ended the end of October. We are looking at a student enrollment of 469.5 or something.
We might adjust four. We might adjust one. We had a student leave at the very beginning. That's being questioned, so it might drop by one.
468.5.
And what was our, what we estimate at?
We budgeted for 430.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great position for us to be in as we're looking toward another challenging funding cycle. We were also notified after we submitted our application for the roof project, and then the borough staff was working with the same consultant at CERC on the sewer line project that's connected between us and the pool. And our roof project did come in at number 12 on the major maintenance list, which is a really good ranking and a great place to be going into the year. We don't know what the legislature will do. We obviously don't know what the governor will do or where that will land, but looking at some past years, if there's any sort of trend, it's possible that that project could end up being on that list. And so that's really good news. We are working with the borough. We'll be getting together with them probably December or January to talk about looking at a bond issue coming out in October around the roof project as a local bond. Some of the other projects are going off of the bond list, the VOTEC building, and the pool's coming up as well. So that's a nice opportunity to be able to keep some of that funding moving forward. And yeah, not a super interesting project, but a very necessary project. We need to have this roof project completed. So we just recently participated in another ALICE training course that provided by the police department and the medical center staff. We did that on Friday the 3rd. We will be looking at teaching the lessons and reviewing those with kids in the next few weeks, probably with a drill on site Christmas. So that's coming. We continue to focus on a holistic approach, not just the response piece, which is really what the ALICE is, but also looking at the prevention and what we're doing on the front end. As Sarah was saying, talking about the mental health emphasis in general, it is definitely not decreasing. Stresses and challenges are only on the rise. So Veterans Day parade, I think, was a great success, even though the weather was terrible on Friday, but people came out and that was great. So thanks to everybody for showing up and helping out with that on Friday.
Thank you. Yeah, any questions? Okay. Now we'll move on to our elementary principal report. Principal Kahn.
I think the only thing that I have to add to my report are highlighted them. A shout out to the veterans and all the support. And there was a little glimmer of no rain, just long enough for the parade to happen. That was thankful. And that I wanted to add that we're having our second school improvement meeting, which is on November 21st, so next Tuesday at 5:30, and it will be in the Stedman Library. That's it. Any questions?
Okay, thank you. Next, middle school, high school principal report. Principal King.
Good evening. I just wanted to highlight a couple of things that have already been mentioned. The Fine Arts and CTE curriculum, our goal for this upcoming process is to have a rough draft for the board in January so that it can be discussed, and then we'll revise and go from there. The middle school has met for RTI and MTSS meetings for supports for the academic supports for the students. We're continuing the ones we've already had, but we're also going to look at other possibilities that increase our effectiveness there. As far as security issues, they finished working on the cameras and the doorbell and the main entrance. So we're looking at informing parents over the next little while that we're going to actually lock the front doors after the start of the school day and be able to ring the doorbell to get buzzed in. That's how we're going to work with that coming up.
Will somebody have to physically come to the door, or there will be like a buzzer system that
unlocks? We actually have an unlock. Yes, you just pull it.
Nice.
And then lock it back down. Mm-hmm. That's our goal. We're just doing that along with putting up some signage to let people know that when they pull on the door and it's not open, it's not because we're closed. It's because we just want to keep the site as secure as possible. The only other comment I have is I agree that the Veterans Day event went off well. It's the first one for me of that type, and it was very enjoyable to be there with the veterans and all the kids and all the gratitude that was shown. Also, I just wanted to do a shout out to my staff. It's really hard not to succeed when you have such an excellent staff. So thank you.
Thanks. Any questions? Nope, you're okay. Nobody has any questions.
He's doing the dance.
And Director of Activities. Mr. Cabral, I'm actually shocked you were here because of the week that you were coming up on.
It's awesome. It's going to be great. We got two teams here already. We're rolling. Tried to beat the weather, so we got one team that just got in. It's great. Our swim team just finished up their season. Both Brooklyn and Logan qualified for state. It was awesome. A little bit of glitch in weather there with some fog that would not leave, but they finally made it about 9:30 at night. Well, we were going to Haynes, we're on the same plane with them, so it was quite the show. But congrats to them, great season. And volleyball coming up, if you're bored this weekend, region starts tomorrow. First game, 4:00, all the schedules online. You can also visit the region website, our brand new region website. It is phenomenal. And we've got all our information on there. So anything you want to know about Region 5 and every activity that we do in our region, you can visit our website. It's pretty cool. We also have added, we've got a relationship building with Ketchikan Charter School. They will be here on Saturday. So we're going to do this region tournament, and then we're going to run 6 games on Saturday for our middle school kids one more time because they want to go places. So they're coming here. So we'll be back in the gym again all day on Saturday. So that first game right now starting at 11, kind of finalizing the schedule, and we'll post that as well. That'll be the last hurrah for them. PHS wrestling about halfway through the season, picked up some kids. I took some of our JV volleyball kids and said, you guys should go wrestle, and they're digging it. So it's awesome. So we got some new kids in there. PHS music, they leave tomorrow. It is not going to cancel, although that is a rumor out there that it's going to cancel because Anchorage has 3 feet of snow in the last 6 days. So a lot of things happening. I think they had to go remote today up in ASD. So it is still going to roll. And hopefully the snow will calm down a little bit. Middle school basketball cheer. I wish we could look at numbers already, but I think we have 72 involved in middle school basketball cheer total. Our numbers are ridiculous. Super awesome. Lots of kids on the sideline and super, super fun. So that is rolling. Middle school wrestling will start when we get back from Christmas break. We'll have a little bit of break for the middle school kids there. But overall, if I just count bodies from middle school activities, we had 43 in cross country, 7 in robotics, 72 in middle school basketball cheer. So that's what we're rolling with right now. Reminder, sports physicals, get them done because we do hit our high school winter activities starting the 29th of November. So basketball and cheer and high school will start there. So that's coming around the corner as well. Close-up people will be doing concessions this week, so come support the close-up kids. I think the tickets are selling like crazy as well for the raffle for them. And then the gear, just keep reminding people about the gear online. If you're looking for gear, our website has the link straight to there, and you can personalize even more things. They've updated with new designs and everything else. So I think Mr. King is wearing one of the items that the staff got for him. So,
nice. He's ready for the week.
Yes. So a lot of blue and white. Brackets up, everything's rolling. We'll have some games during the school day, so we're putting up signs. Kids don't run into the gym to come watch and skip class and all that stuff. So, but yeah, we're
first game 7:30 tomorrow night.
First game starts at 4, but for Petersburg, yep, 7:30 against Haynes. The first game tomorrow will start at 4 o'clock, as long as travel goes well. Wrangell and Skagway. And then after that is Metlakatla, Craig, and then us and Haynes. So we'll be updating the bracket every night and posting it online. Everything will be streaming through the network on NFHS through the Pixalot. Oh, gosh, there was something else.
Tickets?
Tickets, you can do cash or hometown ticketing. You can do both. Yep. High school students have to pay for this one as well. They did not get it for free like our own event because it's a region event. And all of our participants have passes. That's what I was going to say. Pep band will be playing
nice.
At the region volleyball tournament. So it's the first time we've had it. I'm used to having pep band at volleyball games, but not a normal thing in Southeast Alaska. So it'd be kind of fun. So
will it be during the rally?
No, they can't play during the rallies. Yeah. There's a little bit more breaks. And so we test ran it this past Saturday with our alumni game, and they actually kind of like it because there's 3 minutes between each set. And they're like, oh, we can play a whole song. And so they really liked it. So, Tori, were you there playing?
Playing?
Yeah.
The puppet?
Yeah.
No,
you were on the court. Never mind. You were on the court. I can't keep track of you guys. There's like too many. I love it.
Are we hosting a home wrestling meet this year?
No. So we alternate with Wrangell every other year. However, I did sweet talk Sitka High into stopping here on the way over to Wrangell. So November 30th at 7 p.m. right now, we'd actually just talked to Coach Valentine. We are going to do a home duel with Sitka. Oh, so nice. November 30th. And they like the idea, and they're just going to go on the jet boat with us over to Wrangell the next morning on Friday. Nice. So they're going to stop here. They've been gracious enough to change their plans and stop here. So, but yeah, they'll be here for that one. Our basketball schedule is online as well. If you go to the Petersburg High School activity page, all the schedules are listed on there. So you can kind of see, we did add one more game in there, but we have 6 weekends basketball.
Home.
Weekends.
Jamie, I'm sorry.
I love it. That's great.
Okay.
Keep everybody busy.
And all the volunteers and staff.
Yeah. I mean, the officials just.
No breaks.
So the town will be kind of packed this week, and pick up about another 40 kids on Friday night off the ferry with Ketchikan Charter School. So it'd be kind of fun. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. All right. Move on to 13.5, test facilitator. Hello. Testing facilitator. Hello. That's right.
You guys have been waiting anxiously to talk assessment. So I'm just happy I can be here for you. So you have some assessment information. There's a PowerPoint behind you because we're going to talk a little data. I'm going to pull up Heather to talk about the M class scores with me. So we can go to the next slide, please. So just a reminder of all the different assessments that we're doing across the district. We our ADP, which is our developmental profile assessment, is for kindergarten readiness for learning. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. I just got the results in at like 4:30 today. So I do have those. And then we have our AK star. So right now with the AK star, we do not have the results from our testing last year. The state actually is looking at the cut scores and making some adjustments. So we are proposed to have those, it looks like March. They're in the process of doing some validation studies. They have some policy reviews. They're submitting it to the state. And then they're going to have some feedback opportunity before they actually finalize all that. So we're hoping that that's going to change those cut scores a little bit and align them with more where we're at with benchmarks, but we'll have to see where that lands. We still do 2 MAP assessments in the fall and winter. These are required for third grade through ninth grade. However, we talked as a secondary staff last year about extending that out for language arts into 10th grade, because we don't have a good assessment to make sure our students are still making progress. And then in the math classes, what we have been doing for a couple of years now, just so it's out there and transparent, is we have been continuing those assessments up through that geometry class for all those students, because those are the students we're still working on those proficiencies to get them ready for either tech or college bound or just life. And so we have continued that MAP assessment just to make sure that they are making gains up until potentially their junior or senior year, depending on when they land in geometry class. And then we have one AK star in the spring that is 3 through 9. We do have the Alaska Science Assessment, which I do have those results we'll talk about. And that's a summative assessment that happens in the spring. That's 5th, 8th, and 10th. Just some transparency around other assessments. We have the ACT we offer to all juniors in the spring. And we've also offered some more work readiness or vocational school readiness assessments for particular juniors that the ACT is not something that's necessarily going to be valuable to them. With the ACT this year, for the ACT, we have moved to what's called, I just lost the name of it. Anyway, it's a scheduled assessment for the rest of the year. So when we offer the ACT in the fall and in the winter, we have to have students fill out a paper-based program. They can't register online anymore. It's an arranged testing. That's what it's called, arranged testing site. So that was a change that came out of ACT. Our SATs, they can still register online in the fall and the winter. And then we do a late spring, early summer assessment for the AC or for the SAT that we offer. So that's an addition testing for those students who want that and getting ready to go into college. This year, we also have the National Assessment of Education Progress, or the NAEP. I just logged on to that system to get us starting to be ready, and we're doing some tech testing for that. We'll have people on site to help facilitate that testing. That's for 4th, 8th, and 12th grade this year. That's a new one. We have our WEDA, which is our ELL assessment. We have our adaptive assessment with the DLM. And then we have some new ones with the READS Act. We are using that MCLAS or that old, that Amplify assessment to mark progress, and I have some of that data for you. And at the middle school and for some of our classes at the high school, we're using Ames Web to really focus in on some math, and that's where those RTIs or the MTSS program is happening for the middle school and students, to make sure that we're meeting their needs, we're finding out where their weaknesses are, where their gaps are, so we can address those through the RTI process. So lots of assessments.
Yeah,
exhilarating, right? Okay, so we can move on to the ADP, the Alaska Developmental Profile. If you recall, there's those 5 domains, and that's really about just readiness for learning, about physical well-being, health, social, emotional, approaching learning, cognitive and general knowledge, communication, language, and literacy. Part of the professional development grants that Heather Kahn has worked on is to reach out to some of these early learning programs and the staff working there, and also our para educators, so that they can have that letters training. And that's going to help us kind of create some of those really strong foundations, hopefully, for our students coming into our kindergarten programs. And that was the intent of it, so they can have that same language, that same knowledge, that same understanding, and so they can do their best to prepare our students to come into school ready to learn. And that is part of that science of reading. For our para educators, they're often our students that are, our staff that are there working directly with our students. The more educated they can be to implement some of these strategies, some of these interventions, it's just going to help our students all in all. On the next slide, we can see our ADP. This is hot off the press for this year. And we really want our students to be at that 1 or 2 level. But as you can see, we're still making progress for where kids are coming in ready for kindergarten. And so that's just community-wise, and our goal through some of that professional development is to see some of those scores shift over the next couple of years with implementation of some of those programs out in those early learning sites. Give you a second to look at those. And that we talked about that last year. We looked at these ADP results about talking about how we can better transition students from those sites to our school setting.
Can you refresh us on 0, 1, 2? What is the, because it seems like.
Yeah, so the goals are kind of backwards on there. 0 means that they really don't, they're not demonstrating mm-hmm. those skills. 1 is it's developing, and 2 is kind of like a mastery level.
Okay. It goes up to 10. I'm like, we're not doing.
Yeah, it's number. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't create the graph. I just present.
Okay.
Thanks. So if there's any questions about ADP, I mean, we'll see how that professional development reaching out into the community starts to maybe shift these over the years, it'll be interesting to see how that data is impacted. And then we're going to go on to the MCLAS. So this is our kindergarten. The first probe, red is not proficient. I do. That's why I said I'm going to call Heather up here.
Okay.
This is, she's our master in this area. So.
Okay. I wouldn't call that master, but thank you.
That's oh, nice. I will.
Okay. So the benchmark was given in the fall. So the first 6-7 frames that you see are all the fall benchmark. And then the next colored frames that you see, the 4 after the date, are the progress monitoring. When you happen in the fall, you have in column E, you have letter naming fluency. In F is phonemic segmentation fluency. And that is, you're giving a child a word like math, they have to break it down into the different sounds. So app is what they're looking at. And then column G is they are shown a word and they have to break it down based on the sounds. And so the correct letter sound correspondence is where mm-hmm. what you're counting there. And then in column H, you're breaking, did they get the whole word correct of that letter sound combination that they were just shown? So those are nonsense word fluency. They don't really make sense. In column I, you have words read or words. Yeah, words read fluency. They're word reading fluency. Mm-hmm. And so you have whole words, sorry, that took a minute. You have whole words that students can could sound out and to say. All of that is combined into a composite score, and that's what the state is looking at in column J is your total composite score. So when the kindergartners came in, 90% of them, according to the state of Alaska, were below proficient. So we that told us that we really need to reach out to our preschools, our daycares. We need to reach out to our parents. We need to provide training. We need to provide something that's going to help these students come in with skills that are up to the state level. The RAM that you see in column K is a dyslexia screener, and they're shown a variety of numbers. And whether they get those numbers correct or not, they're shown how fast they're actually processing those numbers. And so the processing speed is, yeah. And then the lower the processing speed, the lower the level of concern for dyslexia. And yeah, I think somewhere in there. And then you can see we started our CKLA Amplify curriculum on, I think September 27th, around that date, it was a Monday. And the only thing that curriculum has introduced, because we've really changed our focus from a letter-based introduction to a sound-based introduction mm-hmm. of words. So they haven't even learned the names of these letters that they are, that they're looking at and they're having exposure to in kindergarten. That will come in Unit 9, which is going to be in about April or May, that they'll actually learn the letters, because what you want them to do is really learn the sounds. We could care less about the letters. We want the sounds, even though in the benchmark you see letter naming fluency. But we don't progress monitor on that. And right now the kids have it. So now if you look at column M and you compare that to column F, you have all of these students who have learned exactly what it is that they are supposed to learn from what is being exposed to them in kindergarten.
Which is really exciting and evidence that the program is working.
It is.
So
it's a bit nerve-wracking because it is sound first, sound-based first. That's different. That's a lot different than what we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm. How all of us were taught.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we suspect that right now they're introducing whole words based on sound. So if you walked into a kindergarten classroom, they're learning the words mat. They're not learning that mat is an M-A-T, but they're learning that mat is M-A-T. Yeah, and then shorter sounds. I walked in the other day and they were working on fish and how do we put fish together.
And so we could probably see in columns N and O that those are going to come up
right
with the fall benchmark, which is right around the corner.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that change in color is really exciting. So as we go through these slides and these different grade levels, because we have the next grade level, we go to first. You can, I think the important thing is to look for those color changes, and they do have a few more scores on there from this progress monitoring. So you can see where they started really in that red, and they're starting to move really into the green, and we see more and more blues happening with every single progress monitoring. And that's the important thing. So that's our first grade progress with really fidelity and systematic explicit instruction. If we look at second grade, we can see the changes there from where they started, and they're starting to move that right direction. Same thing with third. We're seeing more.
There's so many blank spaces. Is that because there's a group of students that haven't been assessed?
Yeah,
let's go back to
they that. Don't we'll, need
we'll go
to
back be. To there's some that don't need to be assessed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so you'll yeah. see that thing. Yeah. So they
yeah.
we're we'll only we... assessing the students that have a reading intervention.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so you're going to see those spaces. So if you see, look at our first grade, all those students have a reading intervention plan, but
yeah.
go to second.
And there's less that need that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
And then go to third.
And there's and their goal is to see less and less.
Yeah.
Every single time.
So the state came up with the standards, and I might be stating something that we've already kind of hit ad nauseum, but they came up with the standards for what a kid coming into kindergarten is supposed to be at.
Yeah.
And that was this year they came up with it. Is that part
that
of
was,
the
that was all part of the
The Reads Act.
It's from 2020.
Oh, okay.
So it's all from the
standards have been, yeah.
Okay. That's what I was wondering if it's okay.
And has there been much more buy-in from the community of folks who want to participate in the education piece
the
that we're offering?
The additional training that we offer to our preschools.
Yeah, oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is,
more?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. We have actually with the CLSD grant, the Comprehensive Literacy.
State Literacy Development.
Grant. Yeah.
There's so many grants.
We have found, we have put aside money to purchase, because right now all certified teachers are being offered free professional development within the state, but you have to be on a wait list. And so if your name's not on a wait list, they're just kind of chipping away at that wait list, but they're not offering any free professional development to our paraprofessionals, our preschools, or our childcare facilities in Petersburg. So we took a portion of that money and we set it aside to provide a letters course. And so we have, I think we have over 20, under 30, but over 20 of our paraprofessionals in the buildings of our preschools. We have 1 to 2 teachers, childcare providers from each of the preschools and daycares around town. And then we also have a few high school students that have signed up that are really interested in elementary education. And so they're all participating in the letters course, and that's going to start in January. And there's 2 Saturday sessions in January and 2 in February. And then they'll be certified, just like teachers will be certified.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And are you still looking for more participants, or are you?
We can have more.
Yeah.
40.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if people are out there listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm in the, we split up and Cindy's been taking the letters admin course. Mm-hmm. I've been taking the letters regular course. And then Heidi and Barb and Leanne are taking the early childhood one along with Hillary and Aaron. And then what's going to be coming here.
And then Leanne and I are both taking another course on a specific intervention for dyslexia too, which is actually a 2-year professional development that was offered by the state that we got it on. So that's going to be a long dedicated certification. So and that's okay. There's a lot of professional development. So, but we're trying to make sure that we are prepared and we're doing our best to meet our students' learning needs, and we're preparing them and trying to support their community in that fashion too. Lots going on. So we can look at fourth grade. Once again, you're going to see some changes there. For those kids that you see that it might, and you don't have names associated here, but the ones that are struggling in the red still at this grade, those are often our tier three and four students that are special education. We're doing other explicit instruction with them and trying to cater their needs or hitting them a couple times. And then fifth grade, same thing. So you can see how those are starting to pan out. So any questions about them class or the professional development or what's happening with that assessment, how is she being used at the elementary level? Okay, we'll switch to MAP. So now we can start talking about our measures of academic progress, also known as our MAP. This is our projected proficiency. We're looking at something a little different than what we've seen in the past. So this is the projected proficiency for the AK Star that is will be coming in the spring. And so the red is obviously needs improvement. Yellow is approaching, green is proficient, and then blue is advanced. I can say that, you know, some of these graphs as we go through, they are, some are not very pleasant to look at, but I think they do provide a very realistic image of where our students are at and how they're performing and something just to keep in mind. So, yes.
Was this last year's second grade?
That is actually, we had some of our second grade students take it this year. So that is this year's, not next year's.
I wasn't sure if it was projected star or if it's.
No, this is, we don't have the star results yet.
No, they haven't taken, have they taken that for? Yeah, they have.
We've taken our first, we've taken our first pro, yeah. So if we go on to the reading. Once again, here we are with projected proficiency. So we have a lot that are approaching. So as we implement the different reading programs in CKLA and we're being intentional and explicit, we should be seeing these pie graphs change too and these numbers change. So that's our elementary. Looking at our middle school, where we're really focusing on that math component there for those interventions. And then our reading, if you're ready to see that. And then when we look at our high school kids here. And that's only the ninth graders that took it.
It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I think, once again, we're looking at the reality of where they're at and what we need to be doing maybe differently. And these are a lot of our kids that probably some during critical times were, you know, we were trying to do our best online and that kind of stuff during those learning. But we're trying to catch that at that middle school level. So when they enter high school, they're really ready for those more challenging math courses with having strong foundational skills. And I think this tells us why we need to be doing that there with our current ninth graders. And then in reading, reading looks more pleasant. And I will say, I've been sitting next to some other people around the state, and they are quite envious of our pie charts as we're sitting side by side. They're like, oh my gosh, you have to make colors on yours. That's lovely, where theirs are a lot of red out there. And so I think when we talk about as a state, we need to be looking at how we can meet students' needs and do improvement on a whole. And then we hone in for our district, obviously. So everybody is just, and that's why I said, we're just all where we're at. You know, we can only improve our own and reflect on our own growth. It's not a comparison piece to other districts. We have to look at our people and make sure that they're getting their needs met academically. But we do look at these MAP measures for that intent purpose. And after that, we can move into the Alaska Science. This is from the spring of last year. If we look at Stedman, they group this into advanced and proficient, and then approaching proficiency and needs support. So you can see we have 60.5 in that advanced and proficient area and 39.47 in that approaching proficiency or needs support. In the eighth grade students, we have 53.33. in advanced and proficient, and that 46.67 in approaching proficiency or needs support.
So Is that this year's ninth graders?
Yes. Yep. And then our last year's 10th graders or this year's juniors, we have 52.78 in that advanced proficient and obviously 47.22 in approaching proficiency or needs support category. Yeah.
I noticed in the other charts, like everything was red and yellow. Now it looks like all these are mostly proficient. Can you give an idea why?
Yeah, it what it looks like is it's by a different organization. So that's how it's presented differently. And that's how they group them. And I wasn't able to break it down into different details at this point. So this one's science.
Yeah, this is science versus reading, writing, math. So there's a lot more detail to the other reading, writing, math assessments. Like we don't have a map assessment to break down for for the science standards. So
And we did change that trajectory for our science curriculum based on the current standards, and that is what this test is based on. So now that we do have, for example, this year our freshman class and our sophomore class are in that biology class, and we're covering that physical science in the eighth grade. Now they're going to have different exposure. So now with that implementation, I would suspect that our scores this spring are going to change just based on that science exposure and that change in curriculum and where it's being taught.
That was adopting the science curriculum last year and looking at those national science standards and making exactly that readjustment to, because that's where the standards are. So we had to
and that's where they're being assessed
classes.
So
in the order.
And there's always the links and the resources available online if people want to dive in on their own. It's exhilarating. The next slide. So
exhilarating, that slide.
That one is, yes.
And this presentation has been added to the agenda, so it is available on under our board book.
Heather's back to say more.
I messed up. The Amplify cut scores are nationwide, right? They're not state of Alaska. So those
are big program. The early learning standards were updated. The Alaska learning, just the general early childhood learning targets were updated for Alaska, but the actual assessment itself is Amplify is the national nationwide assessment.
So they're the ones that put the benchmark scores, the benchmark scores in for. And so that's where our kindergartners are nationwide.
A student here, a student in Massachusetts, a student wherever.
And the same thing when we're starting to use that AIMS, where we're just getting that rolling at the middle school, that's a national, not a state. So, and once again, that's a progress monitoring. We can do that more frequently and hone in skills instead of waiting for that bigger map assessment that they all feed in together and how we triangulate that data for student learning. Okay, any other questions?
No. All right, thank you. All right, we'll move on to our committee reports. Katie is at a conference for work, I think. So, and she's covering curriculum, but it sounds like they're moving along with curriculum because we'll have kind of a rough view in January. Facilities, probably not much. Legislative, they're quiet right now, although we did have one representative in town recently, our Representative Hemshoop. Negotiations will be in this winter, January, February start. Looks like they have a policy meeting on the 20th. I think we'll have a few policies of consideration from ASB. Technology, probably nothing. And wellness, we'll skip over. There was no old business. We'll move on to new business, which is 16.1 is our strategic plan focus areas. I'll make a motion to move that the board adopt the we're going to present the focus areas for the next 3 to 5 year strategic plan. If I could have a second.
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Nicole, and is the four focus areas that were created during the strategic planning committee session that was held on November 1st. And those four areas of focus were: 1, the well-being of staff and students; 2, student, family, and community engagement; 3, internal and external communications; and our fourth one was pathways and diverse learning opportunities for students. And so every 3 to 5 years, we try and update our strategic plan. And I was only able to attend about half the day, but anyway, those were the four spots. We talked a little bit about it on Campus K today. but I didn't know if anybody wanted to elaborate or expand on any of those four. No? Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to adopt our new strategic plan, our four presented focus areas. Mara, why don't you call the roll on this one?
Sure. Charlotte Martin, who was in attendance.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Charlotte.
Nicole Olson.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we'll move on to 16.2 is our substitute rate increase. It's been a while since we did that, and we want to continue to entice anybody that is available and enjoys working with children to be able to come in and sub. I'll make a motion to increase the substitution rate. And you have the example up. Great. We kind of broke it down a little bit between classified staff, substitutes, long-term retired classified subs that would be paid more, and then if they were doing 20 days or more, they would have a little bit of increase there. We also have long-term retired classified subs subbing at their retirement step where they retired from the district, and then we also have adjusting the teacher substitute, the certified teacher substitute. So if you have a bachelor's degree but you're not certified, it's 150 a day. Our current certified teachers that will substitute at 175, and our retired certified teacher substitute at 200. We have a long-term sub fill-in of 20 days or more, then we go back to what their negotiated agreement daily rate would be for where they left when they retired from the district. So that's how we kind of broke it down. It's roughly $25 more a day. Not a significant increase, but hopefully enough to keep those that are subbing now, keep coming back, and maybe some that would be willing to do it if they're available. So, do you have any questions?
You still need a second.
Oh, sorry. Motion's been made. One. Could I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Jay seconded. Thank you, Mara. Motion's been made and seconded. So, any further discussion? I apologize.
I just looking at those wages. I think those need to be up higher, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
$17 an hour is, I mean, at least today. Seems quite low.
That's right at what our starting wage is for classified. We'd have to go into our negotiated agreement.
Starting a first year would be $18.89, lower for food service.
And remind me where we compare statewide.
On we're classified?
Like low, right? Yeah.
No.
It's kind of all over.
It's all over the board.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think because they take into account what, if you're full-time, what benefits you get with it.
Yeah, there's like some a lot
districts,
of, yeah.
You don't get health insurance through the summer, but.
Or Petersburg, health insurance at all.
Or at all, yeah, but in Petersburg, it goes through the whole summer. They would literally cut them off at the end of the school year and start them up again at the beginning of the year. So it's hard to quantify it unless you really
have to
do
look
some
at
math.
The whole package. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they don't have other benefits.
But that's classified, not certified.
Mm-hmm. Usually they get a bachelor's degree, non-certified teacher, $150 a day, 8 hours. That's.
I don't think they're here 8 hours, though.
Not 8 hours, so okay.
About 6.5.
Still not a great wage for somebody with a bachelor's degree to
no.
Very attractive.
No, it's not. And neither are our salaries all the way around. Yep. Yeah. We agree. It's all
can I ask how this increase, how'd you guys come up with this figure, the proposed figure?
We
just threw it out
there. Bumping it. Yep.
Yeah, some of it was based off on what is staff being currently paid.
Yeah.
You know, and then kind of backtracking from there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We could also look at this again once negotiations are finished in the spring.
Can we at least approve what's proposed here and then have another discussion about increasing again?
Yeah.
And you may need to also go through at least a cycle of what it actually costs us to project out to the end of the budget. I just hear Karen in my ear saying, oh my God.
But we do need to do that. And the thing is in the work session discussing, you know, finances that we have looking at this the rest of this year, but then thinking about what we do have for the future, because that's the hardest part of all of these things with negotiations is, you know, the unpredictability of local funding, clearly the unpredictability of state funding.
Yeah.
And so you lock yourself in, you know, to percentages and different things. And we bumped this last year for the first time in
May of 22.
20 years or
it
something.
A long time.
And so we agree that we need to do this to try to be more competitive and entice our people to come do this work for us. So, but we do not know what it will look like. You know, we certainly have years where we spend several hundred thousand dollars on sub costs, you know, because you have to factor in every single activity, sick leave, maternity leaves, and personal leaves.
I say we average about 10 subs a day.
Yeah, of some
really
capacity.
In some capacity.
Well, I think it's unique in a school district because you like a lot of, I don't know, local employers, usually an employee can pick up the slack, but you can't go ask a teacher to go take over. Hey, can we add another 20 kids to your classroom? What? You know, it's just,
it's a cost that most jobs don't have.
Right.
You don't find subs every day
for I mean, all the jobs. Yeah, you just muddle along.
People are gone, obviously, from an insurance company or wherever you're working, but you don't necessarily
cost not the them same
in
to do it, to do the job. Yeah.
So that's, it's a different sort of cost in schools. Mm-hmm. Shannon's learning all about school. Costs versus other areas in the world. Also, how lean we are in schools versus other agencies and businesses. We'll just say that.
So certainly something we can put on the agenda for the springtime once maybe negotiations over, because that kind of drives what is established in the negotiated agreement.
And these can be changed.
It only requires one, not three readings.
That's right.
It's not a policy that we have to get three readings on. So
we don't disagree.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. If we have any further discussion, otherwise we'll call the roll. Go ahead, Mara.
Charlotte Martin. Sarah Holmgreen.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Nicole Olson.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we'll also 16.3, our per diem increase. Our per diem rates will be increased to match the state of Alaska standard per diem rate, and will change when and if the state changes their rate. So if they adjust it, then ours can automatically change, as I understand it. So I'll make a motion to change the per diem rate to match the state of Alaska standard per diem rate. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Nicole, and this will also affect the budget.
It will, going from 40 to 60. Yeah.
It's, I think we talked about it on the radio today, for those that were able to listen, about another $20 a day per person.
Who uses per diem? I guess it'd be
everyone. Activity, if any travel for activities has a per diem, any travel for conferences has a per diem. So it's professional development primarily, or activity leave.
Coaches,
adults, not kids, people going to conferences.
Any idea on a annual, like what that looks like annually on our old rate versus the proposed new rate?
Unfortunately, per diems lumped into the object code for staff travel, for student travel, for activities that all goes under student travel, the purpose of their travel. So it's not broken out per diem, lodging, airfare. So it's hard to really. And I haven't been here long enough. Maybe Karen would have known better, but
no, she wouldn't have them broken out.
Yeah. Okay.
The thing also, as a note, is that most of our staff travel this year are covered by grants, not covered out of the general fund. So they are being picked up by grant dollars. The per diems would be picked up by grant dollars.
Okay.
This year.
This year.
Which is where we're having so much travel.
Yeah.
So this, like the school board conference was, per diem would have been, and then Cindy was also in Anchorage for her conference, and so all of us got per diem for the food, but you're getting, you know,
about 40 a day. Now it would be
60. Yeah.
Hardly covers a couple of meals.
No.
Yeah, so that's what we thought. Well, 60, you might get lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
And, you know, breakfast on your own. If you're there all day.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to remember, too, that it, again, is very different in this, in school world versus sort of a lot of other businesses and places in the world, a lot of people, if you travel to a conference and you're working on a weekend, you get paid. And we don't do that in school. Like, people are just, when people come work for us from another place, like they work in a hospital and they come work here or something, and they're like, oh, what's my rate of pay, you know, for my weekend travel? It's like, you get $40 for a meal. I mean, we're just, I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying it's what it is. You
know, what the practice has been. Not that it's necessarily.
That's right. I don't know any district that pays people to, I mean, again, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's a function of school life. That's not really right. It's just what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not okay, but.
What's the per diem tied to now? I mean, you said it's $40, but I mean, is that tied to anything? Where do you want $40?
You get a check. You just get a check and you can use it.
Well, no, I mean, is it tied to like any, or where do you come up with the $40 number?
It's just a number.
It's all of us.
I came here, it's been $40.
So $8 for breakfast, $12 for lunch, and $28 for dinner.
Yeah.
And now you want to tie it to the state of Alaska per diem rates? Is that what the proposal is?
Then at least we're consistent maybe with what state employees are getting.
Instead of an arbitrary number that you guys might have to review.
Let the state do it for us. I don't know.
Do most conferences and stuff, do they provide food for?
Sometimes they'll do a meal. Sometimes they'll do a lunch or a dinner. A lot of times they will offer like, they'll have working lunches a lot. We do a lot of those. You know, they'll just keep you there, feed you food.
But it was interesting. I guess we didn't go to the, it seems like at the school board conference, there were two dinners offered and this year there was one.
And actually, it wasn't, there was not two, there wasn't even one. It was
the like auction?
Hors d'oeuvres or something.
See, they've even cut back on what they're serving as part of their.
And I think trying to keep their costs down to their conference costs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just kind of what it is. Yeah. Nope, everybody's feeling it. For sure.
It's like when a coach travels, they get the rate for the food, but they also get a rate for the lodging.
We pay for their lodging. They just don't get paid like if they're working over a weekend or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like most coaches are.
They get a stipend.
They get a stipend, but they usually stay with the team at the school, but they get a stipend besides that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they get an extra duty.
Contract only. Duty. Yeah, but not anything in addition to that. So
they make $4,500 to be the head basketball coach for the year.
But they don't get a per diem for a hotel room for that night when they're, or they do.
We don't give anybody a per diem for a hotel. The only per diem that you ever get is like
for food.
$60.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you are going to a conference, obviously you don't have to pay for the hotel.
Gotcha.
Or the flight or yeah. So if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are a lean machine.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, motion's been made and seconded to increase the per diem rates to match the state of Alaska standard per diem rate. Mark, please call the roll.
Charlotte Martin. Jay Lister.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Nicole Olson.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. All right, you're on deck.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, that's too weird for me.
I move to approve the Carl Rose Award nomination of Sarah Holmgren.
Sorry.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded to nominate me for the award that happened on Friday. I think Friday. I'm honored that you have post. So for those that weren't listening today, I guess you have the little. Okay, go ahead and read it.
I will read it on behalf of you because
I'm trying to abbreviate it.
So this is a little backwards, but also I think it's very odd that you have to like have a board approve that you want to nominate someone for an actual award that's recognizing them. It seems really odd to me. But anyway, so we did want to do that. And so we did put her name forward and we're asking for forgiveness now rather than permission before. So we did nominate her for this award. It's the Carl Rose Award for Excellent School Board Members. And Sarah discussed it a little bit today on the radio, but Carl Rose was an incredible educator and school board member, and he was just in the business for years and years and years, and he passed away from cancer. It's been probably 15 years ago, maybe now.
He was battling it when I met him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. And he was just this phenomenal human being. He did a lot of work around helping to provide training for school boards and just kind of enhancing the level of professionalism for board members. So that's where the award kind of why it was named after him. So we wanted to put Sarah's name forward, and we wanted to recognize her work on the school board, where she has been a member and a president most of the time, except for maybe a couple of years in there when Mara was president. Held a position on the executive board since 2011. Outside of the school board, she serves on several community boards, including the PMC Foundation and the Chamber of Commerce Board. She's the owner of Petersburg Properties, a job that more than fills her days with work. In her volunteer role with Petersburg School District, she has led the board through the selection of three superintendents. She has attended multiple school board committee meetings, including several rounds of successful negotiations with both the teachers and the classified unions. She's attended multiple legislative fly-ins, testified before the borough and the state legislature countless times on behalf of the school district and Alaskan students. We are privileged to have her volunteering her time, energy, and wisdom in our district, and we do feel that way, and that is what we said. So, there it went.
Thank you.
Hey,
Sarah.
Yay. Right. Congratulations. There was a very worthy board member from Cordova who won, and she's pretty amazing. So, but thank you.
Yeah.
So I guess I have to, motions made and seconded. I don't know if it's a roll call vote or just a yay or nay. All those in favor.
Yay.
Motion passes. Super weird. You also have to nominate yourself for being school board of the year.
Yeah,
I find that super bizarre that that school boards nominate themselves. It's just weird. Anyway, next we'll move on to 16.5, which is acceptance of our audit. So BDO, the district's accounting firm, presented the draft of the final. Yeah, mm-hmm. Presented the final fiscal year 2023 audit to the board earlier this evening, and now this is accepting the final financial audit as presented. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion?
Congratulations, that's great to have
that
clean of a mm-hmm. audit like that. That's nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Mara, please call the roll.
Charlotte Martin. Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Nicole Olson.
Yes.
Motion passes. Number 17, any additional comments from board members? Okay. 18, upcoming dates and meeting announcements. You can, as we said earlier, the academic and activities calendar can be viewed on the school website, which is www.pcsd.us. And lots going on. If you are want to get out of the darkness and into the bright lights of the gym, we've got volleyball starting for Petersburg at 7:30 tomorrow night, and just you can look online, but also there's businesses that have the brackets. Petersburg Properties put up in the window. I'm going to try and follow along, and so people can take a look at the brackets and see when Petersburg will be playing again. And then Saturday, come out for 6 middle school basketball games. So lots to do if you're looking for something to do. And then I think we've got some, the very next weekend, right, would be Sitka?
The 30th.
Oh, no, because we've got Thanksgiving in there. So, yeah, the next week, kids are only in school for a couple of days before they're out for Thanksgiving week. Okay, any other future agenda items? Okay, other new business? Okay, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Can I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. Next, we'll move on to our budget work session. You can stay if you want to hear.